Good morning, guys. Good morning indeed. Okay. Oh man, exciting day. I just want to thank you all for coming. I really want to thank John and Joyce's beautiful family for coming. So, I mean, I just know that you so honored them. And we're honored to have you at our interesting church here. And all I can say is this. It's a special day, really special day for these two, and I know that it honors them so much. So seriously, thank you so much. John and Joyce love so much their family, both blood and non-blood. And I just love their hearts for their family and for their friends, and I honor that. I know that their hearts are expressed so much in the biggest smiles that you could ever see, and lots of tears, and everything in between. They love you. So, thanks again. And Jordan's here. He's an old friend. It's amazing. So today, I'm not sure exactly where we're going to go for the next few minutes here, but I know that the Lord has something really cool in store, and I've timed myself. I'm timed. So, you know, who from this congregation knows that that's a good idea? Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to share some things that the Lord is going to put on my heart, and then we're going to do the thing, and it's going to be really fun. So pray with me. Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord, and what you want to do here, God, and I just pray for help, that you just help me. Because I know you are touching my heart with your heart, Lord, and I just want to be responsible, as always, with delivering whatever you want to say. I pray that we'd all just be blessed by your truth and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So those of you who know me, I love to preach the gospel. I love to speak the truth about what God has done and about the story of the cross and the life transformation power that is locked up in the truth of who Jesus is and who he's called us to be. So much so that sometimes I get like overwhelmed, and that's quite often. But the reason why I love this so much is because I lived a Christian life for about 15, 16 years. And then about 5 years ago, I became a Christian. God really took my heart. Like, I gave it to him. I really gave him my life, and he began to consume me. And I had, like, this life change. And that's really the best way I could explain it. He just showed me what it was to really, truly, like, belong to him and be a son and be in relationship with him. And I'm never going back. I never want to go back. I never looked back. And it's just really exciting, and it's just really good. And some of those truths have to do with kind of a gospel that I had heard all my life, yet it was missing something. There was something that was told to me all my life, or a whole series of things, but it was really missing the depth of the heart of God. See, I was trained to know that I'm a sinner. True. We all have been, right? Like, we all have. And I had sinned, and I needed a Savior, and Jesus came to forgive me of my sins. All this is true, but it's missing something so much more. You see, Jesus didn't merely just come to die for your sins. He died for you. And there's a difference. He died for you because you were the reward for his suffering. Like, you were what he came for. He didn't come for your sin, because when I hear this message, it would just speak to me all about sin and sin and sin. And that's really good to realize. I mean, I think that none of us have to look very far to realize that there's a lot of need, right? And it's so true, but it was so impersonal. He came for you, and he had to get the sin out of the way so that he can get you back. You see, in the beginning, God created man in his image and his likeness, male and female, he created them. in his image, in his likeness. He actually says that one more time. It's three times. When God says something multiple times, he really wants you to get something. This is really something good. And so we were born in love, in glory, in likeness and his, and image, to be like him, not just to like, we weren't, see, it was never meant to just have this like lording God on the clouds and we're just like little man and we're like serving him. It'd be a shame if I learned to be a servant and to serve him only, but not become more like him. Okay. So in the beginning, he made us to be like him, and the perhaps the most really sweet thing is to have fellowship with him, to truly know what it was to know God. In this Christian walk, I don't want to just know about God. If I could just summarize everything that is burning in me, is I want to know God, not just know about him. And unfortunately, lots of representatives of his on this earth know a whole lot sometimes about God, but they don't always know God. And like very often, I say to many, I'm sorry for that, because I've been one of those, right? So we were meant to have fellowship with him, this beautiful intimacy, and most of us know what happened there. It's called separation, corruption, bad decision, sin, and there was a separation that happened, and we died that day because God said, if you choose that tree of knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, then that day you will die. We didn't roll over and die that day. Adam and Eve didn't roll over and die that day, but they died because if God says something, it's true. So death is not merely just like, as we think of death, death is actually separation from God and something that happens is on the inside, death, spiritually. And again, we don't have to go far to look and see that that is quite true, right? And so the purpose that God had all of this time that he never lost sight of was to restore us back to what he always intended. You guys getting that? That's like the big picture. So what happened was, if you remember, there was a gate, and we were like kicked out. We were kicked out of the garden, which just is, in the Hebraic, it stands for some really awesome, deep things, but it really means delight. The delight of what we were meant to be, the beautiful, glorious song of creation, right? And so we were cut off from love himself, and we were in need of love instead of giving love. It's like we were looking for love in all the wrong places. And so now suddenly love is, well, I need you, and oh, you need me. And actually love, is that means love is taking, and that's not love. Love always gives, for God so loved the world that he gave. Right? So there was this gate, and there was a separation. You might even call it like a curtain, a veil, and we'll get to that in a minute. And at that gate, see, God removed us from the garden because he's a loving and faithful God and merciful God. Right? Because he didn't want to see us there eating of the tree of life and immortality and live forever in death. Does that make sense? Right? So he removed us from there with a plan. And he never lost sight of it. And what he did was he stationed two cherubim, like angels, with a flaming sword at that gate on the east side of the garden. And that's important because later on, God does this amazing thing with a man named Moses, and he creates this amazing covenant. Lots of today is about covenant. I love covenant, man. Covenant is a formal, official, amazing agreement between us and God, and us and us, like those two. So he makes this covenant, and he brings it through a mediator that is Moses, and within that covenant, he tells Moses, I want you to form this temple. And this temple was not... It was a tabernacle or temple. It wasn't going to always be on the earth, but it would be on the earth for a certain time to show us a pattern of what was to come, because now in the new covenant, like, we are the temple. Like Jesus said, guys, like, no, the kingdom is not for you to see like there or here. Actually, the kingdom is going to be within you because you are going to be my temple, one that can never be destroyed. It is a temple in the spirit. But he had Moses build this beautiful tabernacle out of the pattern that he showed Moses in heaven. And so what happened was there was the outer area, right? And then there was this inner court where the priests served God. Like, there was like this really strict order. And the priests were able to serve God in this holy place. But then there was this place called the Most Holy Place. And there was a curtain, a veil, that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And the priest could only go with blood of an innocent animal, right? Because there was blood that needed to be shed. In every covenant, there's blood. Every. Including even people. So, in order for him to come, he had to go once a year, a specific person, a specific way, with specific blood. And it's, like, really amazing. and he would go, and the Hebrews believed that God's presence and his residence and his glory was found right there. That was like the portal from heaven and earth. That was the provision of heaven. That was like the interface right there through the veil. And but the thing is, like, not anyone could just go, right? There was a certain order. About 1,000 or so years later, I don't know, some time later, Jesus came. Any scholars know? But okay, Jesus came. And when Jesus died on the cross, a lot of amazing things happened. But one thing, one sign happened on this earth, and that was that there was that curtain in the temple, and that curtain was rent, completely torn from top to bottom as he died. And that means a few really amazing things, but I'm just going to hit on one of them today, is that blockage, that veil, right, that was like covering, that veil that was separating us from the most holy, that veil that kept us from, like, it was between us and going in to be with God in intimacy and glory, was completely torn. From top to bottom, that means man couldn't do it. It's not bottom up, it is top down, maybe, right? And so that meant that the way of access back to God was totally provided. Think with me here. Remember the garden? And there was a gate? Check this out. I almost forgot to say. When God told Moses to form that veil, to craft that veil, he was actually instructed to tell the skillful workers to weave the pattern of cherubim on the veil. Does that sound like something that we just talked about before? The cherubim with the flaming sword? So that same thing, to me, the tearing of the veil was also the opening of the gate back into Eden, back into delight, back into the new Genesis, the new you, the beginning, the new creation in order to be with God. Like, this stuff just blows my mind. Like, to me, it's what John said before. It's beyond your wildest dreams. And I'm either crazy or I'm living something every day that is true, and it's just growing, and it's just incredible. See, I promise, the only reason why I mentioned it, there's a reason why I mentioned this. I've seen miracles. I've seen signs and wonders. I've seen a lady come out of a wheelchair in Denver International Airport after laying hands on her. Radical, crazy healing. I've seen backs straightened. I've seen shoulders healed. I've seen heart conditions completely healed over the phone. Amazing stuff, but nothing even touches the miracle of what he has done on the inside. And when I see a brother or sister, like, totally give their life to Christ, and there's this inward transformation, again, it's like I've never seen a miracle like that, because there's this thing that happens that is so beyond our control and ability. So understanding the purpose and the why behind our decisions and behind why we follow Christ is so important, because we had a destiny and a value placed on our life, and we still do. Because God never lost his original intent for what he created. And what he created was sons and daughters of the Most High God, to look like him, be like him, and to be with him. And that is what was restored at the cross. Can we see that that is so much greater than, hey, Jesus forgave you for your sins, say this prayer, and someday you'll be on a train that's headed to heaven, but possibly live like hellish before you get there? Because the gospel isn't merely just saying something and doing something and getting to heaven. The gospel is not so that we can have a better life. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that we can have a brand new one. I'm going to say it again. I'm not a Christian so I can have a better day and a better life. It is not about my circumstances, guys. If anything, it's kind of like, hey, come and die to yourself. And in this world, you'll have many troubles. I think we all know that. The gospel, like, I'm not a Christian to have a better life. I'm a Christian to have a brand new one. Far too often in the church, sometimes we preach this thing where Jesus came and paid a price and died so that we don't have to. It's not true. Not fully. I know it's a big statement. Of course I believe that Jesus did something that I can never pay. And I thank him for it with my life, right? I'm so thankful for it. But Jesus died so that I can actually join him in his death. And here's the good part. Then I can join him in his resurrection. But you know, like when the Bible talks about that, it actually, at least in part, but very much, if not fully, means in this life on earth. Because Paul says this thing that we died to him through baptism, and in that, we were like buried with him. So we were buried with Jesus in baptism. This is just like when we follow Jesus and we say, I give you my life. This is why it's not like, did you say a prayer and like ask him into your heart? I wouldn't want to just ask him into my heart. He's my life, right? Like all of me. So we're buried with him in baptism, Paul says. And we are raised with him into a brand new life. He's talking about this life now. So we can actually experience and reflect his glory. So it's not really about my circumstances changing. In fact, he actually changes me in the midst of my circumstance. Does that make sense? So now I can reflect him. I can manifest Christ in every single situation. Nothing beats that because there's a victory that now we have that no one could ever like take from us because I'm not saying, God, I'm following you so that my day could be better. I'm saying, God, no matter what my day is like, may I be like you. That's huge. So we're no longer following a gospel that serves us. It's a gospel that transforms us. That's amazing. Sorry. I just love this. I could talk about this repeatedly, on repeat, all day, every day. All day, every day. So God gives this covenant and picture of marriage. And I think marriage is a beautiful thing because it is a mystery, a deep thing that points to Christ. There are a couple of illustrations that we live out as those who belong to Christ. One of them is sonship and daughtership. and it is so good because God has been the loving Father all along. No matter what our Father on earth has ever done or not done or whatever, that doesn't affect today when we're in Christ because when we're in Christ, we have a brand new dad. And we could still celebrate our amazing dad on earth, and that's all good. But we have a brand new dad who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. In fact, Jesus says, hey guys, call no man on earth your father, for you have one heavenly father. All he's saying there, which is really amazing, is that you will no longer be bound and limited by earthly means, no matter who did what or didn't do, right? So we have this thing that no one can take from us, and a destiny and a freedom that we can walk in, no matter what anyone has ever done to us. In fact, there's a freedom in Christ. So with everything going on, there's a lot of stuff going on, right? And there's a lot of people standing up and say, like, well, we need to fight for freedom. However they do, because in this room there are, I guarantee, multiple ways of interpreting the times and things that are going on and how we're dealing with those things. But did you know that, like, even if we feel like we retained or gained more and more freedom as per our rights, that really doesn't mean that much? See, to me, real freedom is when I can say I'm free no matter what happens and no matter what any man does to me. I have a freedom that no man can take. So they can hurt me, they can take away things, they could jail me, and they could even kill me. And in that time, I will never lose 1 ounce of freedom. Does that make sense? This is like in the inside. This is the inside. This is the inside out. So we're called to be sons. The Father waited for the return of His sons, and Jesus made a way for His sons to return, right? And so now His sons can look like God, can be like God. They resemble Him, and they can be with Him. Okay, and then number two is the second really important picture that God gives us is the husband and the wife, is marriage, is the bride and the groom. Remember when we talked about that veil before that was separating, right? I want you to picture a husband and a wife, and what happens during the first wedding very traditionally, at least in the United States and many cultures. The bride comes and she's got like a wedding dress on, right? But she also has a veil. And so someone, usually it's the father, which is so good, at the moment in which they are to take their vows and come together as one in covenant, that veil is lifted. So in a purely God-designed culture, the husband and wife, who are meant to be and about to be, have not been with each other in certain depths, in certain ways, until this time, and the veil is lifted, and now there's no more separation, and the two become one. My gosh. Now, then there's a coming together, and there's an intimacy. We'll just move on. And then what happens, right, is something is born, right? They bring children into the earth. Let's go back to the beginning for a second. When God made man and woman in His image, He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, right? And so marriage points to that, because that's more than just having babies, though. Because when we get to be with God as we were always designed to be, to know Him like that, and we're more intimate with Him, together with Him, to know Him, then something out of that place is born. Like, we are able to bear something in the earth because something's welling up in here, sometimes every day or sometimes for years. But our life expression is like bearing children upon the earth to cover the earth with His glory. And that's like our destiny. That's big. That's like our warfare, and our destiny is to walk in God's goodness and glory and multiply it and spread it all over the earth. That's why I love the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. And every time He preached it, He never said, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring this kingdom. And then, like, this stuff's going to happen. And the kingdom's going to, like, do this and then that and then this and that, or go down or whatever. He only gave this one illustration all the time. It started out very tiny, and it's going to end up big, infinitely big, till it actually covers the entire earth. There is a couple of illustrations that Jesus gave, but I'll actually go back into Daniel. It's actually presented as a rock that is thrown onto the earth. Long story short, it turns into a mountain that fills the whole earth. That mountain is us. That's the Zion. That is the mountain of God, His government, because we are to rule and reign with Him. The Bible says, he who is joined to the Lord is one with Him in spirit. That's just amazing. That is so good. Can I just break the atmosphere? That is so good. Because every other, when you guys see religion out there, whether it's under the guise of Christianity or anything else, there's always a God and there's people, and they serve that God and fear Him. And let me tell you, I serve Him and fear Him greatly. But with our God, the heart of our God, it wasn't enough. Like, he doesn't want that. He actually just, he wants that. But what he really, 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 truly wants is this, for us to come together with him, back, restored, redeemed, reconciled to him. Paul says, be reconciled to God, guys. He says that God has forgiven the sins of the world. This is our message, that God loves you. He sees it all of it, every dark crevice. He's seen everything. Nothing ever goes unhidden. Or goes hidden. Yeah. Unseen, right? Nothing ever goes unseen. So he sees it all, and he loves you, and he forgives you. And so the invitation is, will you receive that forgiveness? And because of that forgiveness and your sins wiped away, now there's no longer that separation. There's no longer that gate, that veil that separates us from our true destiny. Now we can go in and we can know the God of the universe. Hey, so good. I think I'm going to wrap it soon. John, I'm going to like wrap soon, I think. Like, that's crazy. This is like, I don't think this has ever happened before. Like, on time. Like, okay. It's usually like, oh boy, you know, all right. You guys around till 2 p.m. today? Okay, just a few scriptures I want to share. This one's in Ephesians, and I'm not sure where it is, but I'll have it in 2 seconds. There it is. Ephesians 4, verse 23. I'm just going to cut right into the middle of the sentence. He says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So Paul is urging his recipients to his letter to be renewed in your mind. Because who knows that, like, I mean, we've been trained up. This is just like the Matrix. It's like a Matrix system. It's system of, like, there's a thing over us, man. There's, like, a thing out there. And it's so easy to get trained in the wrong, like, home, the wrong school, the wrong everything, because we are taught to be selfish. That's just who we, guys, right? Like, my favorite pastor says this. He says, the worst problem in all of the world has nothing to do with the political movement, who is president or not, terrorist organizations, anything that you could ever imagine that's bad. The worst problem in the whole world is every man thinking for himself. And every man living for himself. Right? So there's a renewing that happens. Like, when we give our life to Christ, this is one of the miracles right here, is that something changes. Because we can walk in faith in the realities of what God says instead of what we've always known and what other people say. See, when I came to Christ, all I knew about myself is what I knew about myself. But God knows something more, and that's what touches me so much, is that I can stand here and tell you that God knows what he's called you all to be. And it's so glorious. It's like beyond what you can possibly imagine. I promise. It's like, it's huge. Like, he sees something, and again, he never lost sight of what it would look like for him to take you, to keep you, to restore you, to heal you, to reconcile you back in a relationship with him, and to put his spirit inside of you. That's like mind-boggling, like bonkers crazy. Because, like, in Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about, like, how his spirit is actually talking to our spirit. And we can know amazing things about, like, God and what he's thinking. Because it's like you're sharing mind space. Because at the end of it, he says we have the mind of Christ. So he can do all those things to you and put his life back into you the way that he always intended. And by the way, we find our purpose for our life and our model in our life after the life of Jesus. In other words, God's intent for your life is found in the life of Jesus. How about you? But I didn't believe that. That sounds like a crazy statement. Then I started reading the Bible. And Jesus himself kept saying, like, since I'm doing, now you do, right? Or all authority, I've conquered this thing, so now you have been more than a conqueror. All authority is given to me, so go. Because why? Because all authority has been given to me, but now I'm in you and you're in me, and we share that authority, so go, make disciples of all nations, right? Or Jesus says, how about this? He says, see these amazing works and miracles? Yep, you're going to do the same thing. Actually, if anything, you're going to do even greater things than what I'm doing. Why? Because I'm going back to the Father, although I'll be in you in a greater capacity, because it's so true. But since, like, I'm stopping this earthly ministry, like, you're going. Like, you're still going because you're on this earth, and it's just going to grow. It's His kingdom. So as that happens, we are going to see ourselves do the same thing that Jesus did, if anything, even greater. That's crazy. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. That is like, that's so good. And even more importantly, we begin to, as we be with Him, we begin to exude the very nature of God, of Christ, right? So the way that we act, the way that we respond, everything changes. That's the renewal of our mind. That's being renewed in our mind. So verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And it says, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And I have a cross reference here that says basically the same thing, but it's just a different way of saying it. He says, and you have put on the new self, which is renewed in knowledge. See, there's a thinking change. There's something that changes here. After the image of its creator. That's back to Genesis, and that's saying that we are restored to God's image and likeness. Okay, and then one more, if I could find it. Yeah. I'm going to read the scripture, and then maybe we'll talk about it a second, and then I think we're going to start wrapping. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses who would put a veil over his head. Or over his face, so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Second Corinthians 3:12, starting. So through Christ, so through the two becoming one, there's a separation and a veil, until they are so one that it's really hard to tell where one ends and one begins. Of course, this is an unseen fashion because oneness is not the same as sameness. Right? So, like, they're not the same, but they're one. Okay. So, but they're growing in oneness, and they get to have this picture that they show the world, because not only have John and Joyce, by the way, sewn into an amazing family, but they've sewn into an extended family, and I'm one of those honored recipients of their love and their encouragement and their heart and their care and their mother and father nature. They are such mothers, like they're such a mother and father. They just are. So when we come to Christ, there's a veil that's removed, okay? Because only through Christ it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So there's a transformation of glory to glory. There's a mystery of oneness that's no longer a mystery, because the cat's out of the bag, the mystery has been revealed, and that is that Christ is in us when we're with Him, when we're in Him, when we're found in Him, our life is His. Christ is in us, and that is what our hope is, and it transforms everything. Last but not least, I just want to talk about love. Love is amazing. Love is, to me, it's like the life force. It's the greatest force in the universe. And yet love has been, like the idea of love often is very perverted by a fallen man in need of love, not ready to give it. But there's something that happens when we come into the love of God. We are greatly ready and willing. We come to that place where we say, I give my life, I surrender my rights. And marriage is such a beautiful picture of that, because most of you know it takes love, right? And it takes a certain surrender. If we're living for ourselves and we're takers, it's just not probably going to be a great and healthy marriage. And so when I see a healthy marriage like these two, I see those who have surrendered their life. And you know what? Maybe there's a process of reminder every day. Sometimes there's not. I don't know. But all I know is that there's a surrender that happens and a beautiful expression of God when that comes about. And so again, there's a death to life experience. That death is saying, I understand. There's something greater. There's something that needs a change in me, and I've tried and I tried and I've tried self-improvement. I've tried to work on it. But no matter what I do, I'm not successful. The truth of Christ is not a self-improvement program. There's no improving on oneself. It's actually giving of oneself, giving up oneself, turning away from the old self that you were actually never created to be anyway, and turning to and putting on the new created self that God had always, always destined for you. So there's a dying with Christ so that you can truly live in Him. Amen. So, I think we're going to have Kirsten, my amazing bride, come up and share a few words, and then John and Joyce will be doing the same, and it's going to be really good. So thank you so much for hearing me. Thank you for being here, all of you. Like, some of you have heard me like a lot, and I just appreciate you letting me share with you what God is doing on the earth. It's the greatest story that has ever been told, in my humble opinion. Thank you. And so if at the end, if you ever want to talk about any of this, like anyone in our congregation or not, if anything's buzzing from what I said, if there's anything moving and stirring in you, I would love to hear from you. Pastor John and I will be up here for some time when the service ends and we start our really nice potluck. I smell some food. Do you guys smell food? I'm smelling that bread, Joyce. But before that, yeah, like, and during that, we'll be up here for just like a few minutes before we get started. If you want to follow up and if you need prayer for anything, please come up. Or if you want to talk about anything, just get my number and information from John and Joyce, because I would absolutely be honored and love to talk to you about anything. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much that Jesus, you died and rose again so that you can invite us to be co-crucified and co-resurrected with you into the brand new life, into real life, into what you've always called us to be. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Thank you that you didn't say no one could get to heaven except through me. That's the whole point, Lord. I know. I feel your heart. I feel your strong desire and yearning to bring many back to your Father and our Father. And Jesus, I thank you that you said this is eternal life, that they would know the one true God. So I thank you that you spelled it out that eternal life is actually wrapped up in knowing God. It's not this eternal life that they would say a prayer and get to heaven, although that's good. But it goes so much deeper that you've invited us into knowing the God of the universe. So thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask you to just fill this place, Lord. Move and do what you do, Lord. Move upon your word. I thank you, Lord, for amazing people. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as you all know, we're here to celebrate John and Joyce's 50th anniversary and to renew their vows in honor of the next 50 years. And in commemoration of that, I wanted to share a short story of something that the Lord taught me through their marriage. A few years back, I was really learning and practicing seeing in the spirit. We have physical eyes and we have spiritual eyes. And sometimes our spiritual eyes get a little rusty because we don't use them very much. So I was practicing seeing in the spirit. And during worship, I'd be at the back of the soundboard very often. And the lights are dim and the music's loud and people would walk by and you don't hear them because it's really loud. You don't really see them because it's kind of dark. My eyes are closed. But yet I would see people go by and I opened my eyes and there's somebody really there. Yeah. Okay, cool. You know, and for a while there, I wasn't sure. Is it really my physical eyes? I'm just really seeing kind of a shadow or am I actually seeing something in the spirit? Wasn't completely sure. So one Sunday, a bunch of us are at the front praying in a circle, and my eyes are closed. And then I see somebody, this shadow, come next to me, just one shadow. And I open my eyes to see, oh, somebody joined us. Who joined us? And I look over, and it's not one person, it's two. We have John and Joyce come and join me. And let me see if I can do this without crying. What the Lord showed me was that we think about this idea of the two become one flesh, but what we don't realize is that the two become one spirit as well. And we, as a husband and wife, we have the capacity to come together or pull ourselves away from each other in spirit. We can pull ourselves away out of self-preservation, out of jealousy, anger, whatever it is. But we have a choice to remain as one spirit. And what the Lord showed me was that as John and Joyce came up, I only saw one spirit. There was not two spirits. There weren't two spirits. It was one spirit. And what he showed me in their marriage is that they have come into such an incredible place that like two candles with two flames, you put the two together and there's one flame. You no longer see which flame goes to which candle. It's one flame. And that's the way they are in their marriage. And what the Lord showed me with that is that is just how we have a choice in our own marriages and in also as believers, we are all one together in a different sort of way, but we're all one in the Lord. But we have a choice in our marriages to engage in that oneness with each other. And it takes a tremendous amount of sacrifice. It takes a tremendous amount of giving, not of taking. And like Evan was talking about, we have this opportunity not just in our marriages to come into oneness, but because of the blood of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, he has provided a way for us to come into that same kind of oneness that is pictured as a metaphor in marriage with the Lord. We now can step into that same oneness with God himself, the creator of the universe. We can now come into oneness with him. And so you have this picture of he's in us, we're in him, in this divine communion. And we as believers think that we have to wait till sometimes religion will tell us that we have to wait till someday when we die, then when we get to heaven, then we can be with God. But no, Jesus made a way for us to be in that oneness now, that veil is torn, that is, there's no longer that separation. We can now come into that place of oneness in relationship with Him that satisfies that desire in us. I think we've all felt that longing in us, and we try to fulfill that longing with other people, with food, with drugs, with sex, with you name it. We try to fill that void, but that void is there because it's a hole that only God can fulfill. And in that oneness with Him, there is such peace, such joy, such... there's not language for it, really, you know? So I just wanted to honor John and Joyce in that because my marriage has grown tremendously because of what the Lord showed me through your marriage. And my relationship with God as well. And just knowing that there is an intentionality in that, that we can pursue the Lord and that He pursues us back, that we can pursue our spouse and then and be pursued back in the same way, is so incredible. It's so beyond words. So I wanted to honor you, and happy anniversary, and come on up.
This is an anniversary gift from our children. And, you know, I have looked and looked and looked at this. This is from 1972. And the only difference I see is that I cut my hair. but this is what's interesting, because I'm still that girl. I've changed. I've matured. I certainly hope so, anyway. I believe I've embraced wisdom. I hope. but I still have the hopes and dreams that girl has that you see there. They've expanded. You see, we've given birth to 4 children. Our 2 boys, our sons, amazingly creative young men. Our first one, I think, did things a little more behind our back. Our second one taught us how to choose our battles well. Our third child connected us very deeply with the Lord and with heaven's possibilities, because that's where she resides. And our fourth was a gift unexpected, also an amazing, creative young lady. And each of these, our oldest son married the most beautiful woman who taught me about faith. And amazing things about faith. Our second son and his wife, Janie, that taught us about joy and adventure. She's so adventuresome. She will try anything and does it successfully. She's just a wonderment. Our daughter, Mary, the submariner, he taught us about going to great depths without having to do it physically. Thank heavens. Amazing kids. But from this wonderful second generation, we'll consider ourselves the first, this amazing second generation, came a third generation of 9 incredible grandchildren. We have a 10th that was recently added, and grandson recently added. And he and his wife are now presenting a 4th generation due in February. So we're watching this grand thing develop because of you. John, he's been our foundation. He's been a wonderful foundation in this family. And we just see nothing but potential, more potential coming. We're so excited about the way this family is expanding and threatening to expand. I love it.
Yeah, she stole most of the thunder. Because I could only just say a second everything that Joyce just said. That we've been blessed and blessed again and again and again. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking, as we are going to renew our vows again, we did this on our 25th anniversary also. But I think about who we are and what we are and have become.
Yeah.
You know, there are three covenants in life. There's a covenant that God made with all of these people. There's the covenant of marriage. And there's a covenant that won't be broken. Our covenant will not be broken until we fulfill that covenant that God has honored us with for eternal life. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that will separate us.
Oh, no, it won't. It'll keep us together
forever. Oh, well, yes. 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 Physically here. Put it that way. You know, life has been, we've had lots of hills and valleys and bumps in the road and curves here and curves there, but never a fork.
Yeah, that's true.
So, we love our grandkids. We love our two sons, our daughter, and our daughter that's with the Lord. And I am blessed that Hannah's going to bless us with a great-grandchild. Mm-hmm. I see my grandkids out sitting out here, mm-hmm. all of them that reside here. We're missing our daughter in Minnesota. She was in hopes that they would be here, but the coronavirus kind of put a halt to some real serious plans that she had for this event. But I honor each and every one of my family, my two sons, my granddaughters, my grandsons.
You know, this is the amazing thing about family. Our three kids became six. They're all our kids. We make no distinction. It's very hard for me to stay in-law. Because I just don't feel that way. They're our children. We have six beautiful children. We have 9, 10 beautiful grandchildren. And more in the coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was something else I was going to say. And now you see.
There you go again.
We are blessed. Yeah. We have been blessed. We are constantly being blessed. We're blessed by our family. But the biggest blessing that I have, and I'm going to have a hard time getting through this, when my namesake, Jordan the Third, is John the Third, when he was barely a month old, his heart failed. We prayed and prayed. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. The day came when he was going to have to face surgery, replacement of a valve in his heart. 9 months later, after a lot of prayer.
In the face of his mother.
In the face of his mother. The radiologist said, when did he have the operation? Jordan, you are a miracle. And you are probably the reason that we are even closer as your grandma and grandpa than anything. That miracle, and that was truly God's hand on his family. So with that, Evan,
a display of his love. Yeah, he did. He's such a crybaby.
Yeah.
Only him.
Yeah.
Here's one thing also I like to this picture. This was taken from a photograph that we did, or that was taken of us, when we were actually on a second honeymoon, our first opportunity to really celebrate. In 1972, we took a trip back east, visit my sister, and then go on up to New York, up to Connecticut to see my aunt. We spent a few nights in New York City. And this picture was taken when we were at the New York, or at the Rainbow Music, or the Radio City Hall in the Rainbow Room. And as you can see, we were young. But there is one redeeming factor in that picture. I still have the tie.
Yes. Jody, I really would love to see you sitting with Debbie for this. Evan is going to play a song we just really yesterday discovered, and he was able to do this. This is what I would love to have happen, and that is that if you're here with somebody you love, just look them in the eye while this is playing. If you're here more or less alone, close your eyes, because the Lord is wanting to encounter through this song.
And just as Joy said, she asked me and introduced me to this yesterday. So I thank you for your patience.
You are beautiful, so precious to me. You're irreplaceable and unique. You're here for this intimacy. Forever we belong. I say I think you're amazing. Oh, I say I think you're amazing. Oh, my love for you never changes. I say I think you're amazing.
Okay, so we're going to, yeah, you guys could just hang out in the middle there. We're going to take communion together, or really, John and Joyce are going to take communion. That's an awesome stash, man. Like, by the way, it's, like, beautiful. Like, no, I just love it. It's just so stoic and handsome, and I just, we just love you, too. You look amazing. Okay, so this is an example. It's a practice. It's a sacrament. It's many things from what we call it. But and among many things that communion represents, one of the most beautiful is our oneness. Because there's this thing called the one new man in Christ, because we are the body of Christ. And so when we take communion together, we are announcing and reminding ourselves of our oneness with God, as we've been talking about, which is so incredible, and our oneness ourselves, or with, together with ourselves here, our oneness as a people, as a body of Christ. And so that blood is the blood of Jesus. And the sanctifying and cleansing power is not just something that covers us on the outside. This is not; these are not fig leaves. This is not a veil. This is something that we take on the inside. There's a beautiful reason that Jesus said, "Here is my blood and here is my flesh. Eat it and drink it." Sounds kind of crazy, but it's amazing because he's saying, "You're partaking of me. Let me be your substance." And let that cleansing blood cleanse your conscience clean, clear, and cleanse and purge your sins. Take them away from you so you can walk in freedom. And likewise, I did this opposite, that's okay. Likewise, he takes his body and says, eat it. Again, that's the substance. It's also, that stands for his DNA. Who Christ is now being formed in us. Because after all, we are what we eat. So I'm going to invite you to just do it in your own timing, in your own way. So what Kirsten and I are going to do, I'll stand up here, Kirsten. We're going to go ahead and take turns having you guys take your vows. Yeah, go ahead. I certainly will. And John, as you were serving Joyce communion, I thought about when Jesus got down on his knees to his students, to his followers, to his those who belong to him. He got on his knees and served them himself, and he washed their feet, did the job of a slave, of a servant. And he said, go and do likewise. And you are that guy, John. Like, you have the heart of Christ. And I just celebrate that, and this is an honor. All right. Repeat after me. I, John, give myself to you, Joyce,
give myself to you, Joyce,
to be your wedded husband,
to be your wedded husband,
to join with you as one in our renewed covenant before God. Continuing in love enduring through every circumstance for as long as we both shall live.
Joyce, repeat after me. I, Joyce, give myself to you, John, to be your wedded wife, to join with you as one in our renewed covenant before God, continuing in love enduring through every circumstance for as long as we both shall live.
I was going to say. I'm glad you took that announcement upon yourself. It's perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Pettit.
Well, thank you all for coming and participating in all of this. It's our family in Christ, our friends, everyone. We have what's called a ketubah up here that our dear friend Linda prepared for us. And we would like each of you, I think that's running. We would like each of you to sign this as witnesses of what you've seen today. There's a line on here. Please sign below the line. Above the line, we still need to put in the good stuff. So, if you would. You're right. Right. So, thank you much. We're going to have a potluck with plenty to eat and everything. So, hang around and have a good time.
Yeah, even if you guys didn't bring food, please stay, hang out, eat other people. It doesn't matter. Like we always say this, there's plenty of food for everyone. And if there isn't, Jesus will multiply it. Enjoy. Let's celebrate. And we'll be up here for a little bit for prayer if you need it.